The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few days ago, I came across the following quote from President Franklin D. Roosevelt. This is what he said: "Courage is not the absence of fear, but the determination that something else is more important than fear." So these words got me to thinking about today's reading from Luke, thinking about Jesus as he journeys towards Jerusalem, as that holy city comes into focus, a city where we witness heartbreak and hope. More specifically, after reading this quote, I couldn't help but think about the courage Jesus shows in moving forward to that holy city and the cross. And I couldn't help but think about the vulnerability he displays in going that direction. He knows that challenges and sufferings lie ahead, and yet he doesn't turn away. He doesn't turn back, because the very thing that is more important than fear is God's love for the world. God's love for you and me. Because of this love, Jesus doesn't turn away, even after the Pharisees' warning. "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." This was not an empty threat. Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, had already executed John the Baptist. And now the Pharisees were concerned that Jesus would be next. Now, I don't think you could blame Jesus had he heeded their warning. But in this moment, we see something. We see someone who will change the world. We see Jesus' courage and vulnerability laid bare for all to see. He is not just a distant figure of divine authority. He is a man who knows fear, who understands the very weight of the threats against his life. So when faced with death, Jesus responds not with retreat, but with resolve. He tells the Pharisees, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will finish my work.'" Jesus boldly asserts his mission in this moment. He boldly asserts his calling. He knows the dangers that lie ahead, and yet he continues to move forward. He continues to lean in, committed to healing and preaching the good news. Now, courage, in the biblical sense, is not the absence of fear, but the ability to act in the face of it. It is the willingness to step into the unknown, trusting in the power of God's presence in the midst of it all. And Jesus exemplifies this courage. He does not allow the threat of Herod to deter him from what he was called to do. Instead, he acknowledges the danger and chooses to continue his work of love and redemption. So standing right in the face of adversity, Jesus mourns for Jerusalem, saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Standing in the face of adversity, we see Jesus' vulnerability manifested in his compassion. He does not simply see the city as a place of rejection. He sees it as a place of lost potential and brokenness. And his heart aches for those who reject him, who refuse his love. And in his lament over Jerusalem, we are reminded that love often comes with heartache. To love deeply is to be vulnerable. To love deeply is to open oneself to pain, rejection, disappointment, and in the case of Jesus, even hostility. Yet it is precisely in these moments of vulnerability that true and authentic connection can be forged. Just as Jesus longed to gather the children of Jerusalem under his wings, we too are called to create spaces of safety, acceptance, and love for those around us. Now, the truth is, the world doesn't equate vulnerability with courage and strength. Often the world tells us that vulnerability is synonymous with weakness and should be avoided at all costs. But I beg to differ. Because what we see in Jesus today, vulnerability is synonymous with courage. Fear is a natural human emotion. It's not about suppressing fear or pretending not to feel it. It's about acknowledging it and choosing to act despite it. I wonder, are we willing to embrace our own vulnerability in order to bring about healing and wholeness in our lives? Are we willing to embrace our own vulnerability to love and extend grace to a world in need? Our vulnerability can be a deep source of connection as it flings the door open for empathy, compassion, and understanding. In the end, Jesus' journey toward Jerusalem is not just a march toward certain suffering and death. It is a journey that is fueled by divine love and a desire for reconciliation. Jesus understands that his vulnerability and courage go hand in hand. He doesn't shy away from the pain that lies ahead, but embraces it as part of the greater narrative of salvation. His willingness to suffer for the sake of others reveals the breadth and depth of God's love, a love that invites you and me to participate in God's saving work in the world, in the here and the now. One of my favorite authors, Frederick Buechner, said this. I just love this quote. "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." For Jesus, that place was Jerusalem, where the deep hunger for hope, healing, and redemption was palpable. His journey toward the cross was not merely an act of obedience, but an expression of his unwavering commitment to fulfill God's plan for all humanity. His courage shines brightest in the face of what is to come. His courage shines brightest in the face of rejection, not just from the political leaders like Herod, but also from the very people he came to save. So think for just a minute. Where is God calling you to be courageous? Where is God calling you to step into vulnerability, to lay bare what is on your heart and in your mind? Where is God calling you to lean into vulnerability in your life, in your families, in your friendships, and communities? There are countless opportunities set before us to be a source of healing and hope, even when the challenges and risks are real. It may be admitting you have a problem and need help. It may be standing up for justice, doing what is right when what is right is not popular. It may be offering forgiveness when it is so hard. It may be walking with someone as they age or as they near the end of life, or simply showing love to someone who feels unlovable. When we allow God's love to transform our fears, we discover the courage to reach out, to extend grace, and to be present in the lives of others. It is in this movement, from fear to love, that we find our true calling as followers of Christ. So, my dear friends, on this day and in all the days to come, may we seek to be the hands and feet of Christ, offering healing and compassion, love and understanding to those who are hurting. And in our darkest moments, when fear threatens to consume us, remember, you are not alone. For the same God who walked with Jesus through Jerusalem walks with us today and always. Let it be so. Amen.